Welcome, everybody, to the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. It is Friday, the 5th of June. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, hey. Good to be here, Kelly.
Glad to have you with me because, as I mentioned at the top of the show, it is Friday. For people who missed the important portion of the program, today is Friday. That means it is, in fact, Security Friday. And so, Andrew, the first thing I wanted to talk about with you is an interesting thing that one of the secure messaging apps is doing as far as taking pictures of people, because there are a lot of places where a whole lot of people are gathered. And sometimes it's nice to have the picture of all the people, but not necessarily their faces.
Yes. So as I'm sure we've talked about before in the show, when most people, like when most privacy advocates, when they talk about private apps to use, pretty much the go-to app for messaging that everyone recommends is Signal. Mm-hmm. And they added a new feature a day or two ago, and it lets you, when you take a picture within the app, or I think it works even if you share a picture to the app,
okay,
it will automatically blur the faces in the image. And then you can either message that to someone or save it to your camera roll so you can then upload it to somewhere else.
Which is really great. And like I said, there are a lot of times when you maybe want to take a picture of all the people who are there with you, but you don't necessarily want to show the faces of all of those people. If you're part of a very large gathering, sometimes that can be really helpful. So, yeah. And also may have heard of another app called Telegram. So if you think you've heard of a secure messaging app, the one that most people use for absolute security is Signal. And that's the one we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is, so this is Kelly and Andrew's recommendation. If you want to upload a picture to Facebook, use this to immediately blur out any faces.
Yes, that would be an excellent idea. Another thing that you can do, if you're not using Signal, but maybe you do want to share a picture to Facebook, or any other place for that matter, is there's a shortcut, and I'll have a link to that. iOS, you know, on iOS, you have the Shortcuts app. This is one of those shortcuts, and I'll make sure that I have a link to it, like I said, in the show notes. And that will pull out all location data. It will strip all the location data, and it will create, a new image with no location data, and it will blur all the faces. It uses the face detection that's already part of the iOS camera, and will blur all of those faces.
Yeah. I was trying to work, because right now I do have a shortcut that will strip the metadata out. Mm-hmm. I was trying to tinker and create one that will blur faces. I wasn't successful, but I haven't seen the shortcut yet, but I'll dig into it and see how it works.
Yeah, and you will obviously hear more about that as the situation changes, as Andrew digs into it and we can find a really nice way to use that. That'll be cool. The other thing we have to talk about today in sort of security news tidbits is that we've had another, I guess it's not a data breach, but a data kerfuffle? I'm not sure. Tell us about it, Andrew.
Yes. So there's this a beer rating app called Untappd.
Yep.
I've never used it, but apparently, like the name suggests, you can rate beers. Like if you're drinking beer at a certain location, you can check into that location, similar to
Foursquare.
Foursquare.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a lot like that. I have used it, which is kind of entertaining because I'm not really a beer drinker, but I was hoping to maybe find one that I liked. So I was sort of keeping track of all the ones I tried that I didn't like. And I kind of always forgot about doing it until later. So I was never checking into a place like while I was at the place. I was always ending up doing it later. So I have not had this particular issue, but I'm also not the person who got tracked. So talk to us about the group of people that we're discussing here.
Yeah. So basically, I guess Untappd shares location data, or at least collects it, because researchers were able to use data from the app to track the location history of military and CIA personnel.
Fantastic.
Which is not what you want to hear.
No. Yeah, and because, it was not a big, it wasn't like we went to these extraordinary measures and did all this weird stuff in order to get this information. Like, it wasn't hard, was the impression that I got.
Yeah, so basically, first, some examples of these users included a U.S. drone pilot who checked in at the beach next to his Guantanamo Bay and several times at the Pentagon, and a senior intelligence official. So basically, it sounds like they cross-referenced these check-ins with their other social media accounts, mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, did it that way, like finding things in common, I think.
Yeah. Like, I read the article, and still hearing you say it out loud is still so surprising to me. Checked in on the beach next to Guantanamo Bay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is another, we do this all the time, and I say that all the time, but we have to keep doing it, which is, take a good look at, if you're going to give an app, and any app, if TMO had an app, I would tell you the same thing. If you're going to use an app, figure out what it's doing with your data. And more importantly, I wouldn't say more importantly, but equally importantly, find out what it does with your data when you are done with the app. Because that's the other thing. Like, if you uninstall the app, do they get to keep your data? If you delete your account, do they get to keep your data? Those are important things to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is important. And sometimes it's something that I forget often too. If I'm deleting my account, their data or my data is still going to be on their servers. Maybe it just won't be connected to me anymore, or maybe right. It will. So you gotta read privacy policies.
Mm-hmm. It's important. And part of that is also because, you know, we've seen mail programs that are like, well, of course we scan your inbox and mine that information for other stuff. You know, of course we do. Why wouldn't we do that? So always take a look at that stuff and make sure that you know what you're doing. If you want to hand it over, that's fine. I'm not saying don't do it. It's up to you. It's your data. But remember that. It's your data. And what happens to it should be up to you. And you should be aware of what that is. So that's it. That's today's privacy PSA or security dim sum, as I call it. We've got our little news bits in there. And now we want to talk a little bit about wiping your phone.
Yes. So a short little guide I wrote up about how to wipe your iPhone, iPad, and Mac. Mm-hmm. And by wipe, as I pointed out in the article, we're talking about factory reset. And a word of caution before you go down this path is basically factory reset means it's as the device was outside of the box. It's like it was brand new, everything is wiped. And so mm-hmm. you really have to be sure you want to do this. And there are a couple of cases in which you would, for example, if you're selling your device or even just throwing it away, wiping it first is very important.
Yes. And you do have to go through a number of steps to do it. You can't slip and fall and accidentally wipe your phone. There are a number of things you have to explicitly agree. You have to type in your passcode by hand, that sort of stuff. I don't want to give away the ending of the article. But it's important, and there are situations when you might want to do that. So you definitely want to think about that. You may not want to do this. I know, you know, we talked earlier about perhaps going out and becoming part of a large group of people who are out somewhere. And if you're doing that, you may not necessarily want to wipe your phone. Or if it's been offered to you as a tech support tactic, if you get in touch with Apple and Apple says, well, try wiping your phone and restoring it and see if that clears up the issue, you may want to do it in that case, but you can't restore it if you don't have a good backup. So always make sure that you've got a good backup, at least one. I do have two backups for my phone because I leave the iCloud backup on, but then I plug it into my computer occasionally, like a caveman. And I use Amazing to do that because I want to make sure that I have 100% of my data. And iCloud backups, mm-hmm. as we've discussed, iCloud backups do not back up 100% of what is on your phone. And that's why I do the local backup and plug it in and use iMazing, because iMazing even backs up things they are not a sponsor, but iMazing backs up things that even the standard iTunes backup, or if you're on Catalina, the, you know, you plug it in and it shows up in the sidebar and you click backup. There are things that that backup doesn't get that iMazing gets. And so that's why I use it, to make sure I've got it right. So, yeah.
And yeah, my guide is pretty basic. I didn't get into secure erasing things because I feel like that's a whole nother guide.
It is
because John wrote about it. So I just linked to that. Yeah. Because basically, if you're talking about your hard drive and a Mac, there's a difference between secure erasing an SSD and a regular hard disk drive. So
yes.
I just let John cover that.
Which is good. As Andrew said, you can do this on your Mac as well. Sometimes your Mac might need a complete wipe. And if that's the case, we do have a guide for securely erasing that, aside from just the basic sort of take everything back to zero and, you know, let's start over again. So thank you, Andrew, for those. Right now, I would like to talk to you about our sponsor today. And our sponsor today is Devon Technologies. Devon Technologies develops apps for handling the flood of information that is your life. And they do that based on artificial intelligence. Their flagship is a document and information manager called Devon Think, which is the most professional document and information manager application for your Mac. Devon Think helps you collect, organize, and annotate all kinds of documents, and you never have to leave the app. You can use a live web page like a Google Doc right next to a local file, and everything works. You can organize things in groups, or you can organize them by tags, or you can do both if that's what you prefer. You can create smart rules or reminders that are very flexible for any document. And even if you're not a programmer, you can still build automations that will give you a workflow that hands off all of the boring repeating stuff to Devon Think to take care of for you. Just for my listeners, there's a 10% discount on Devon Think 3 or on an upgrade at devontechnologies.com. That's D-E-V-O-N technologies.com/TDO. And again, 10% off a full version or an upgrade purchase at devontechnologies.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Devon Technologies for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other news is actually something that wasn't even news until we were about to hit record. And this was a very surprising thing to have happen. So if we seem a little thin on actual information, it's because we found out about 5 minutes before I hit record. So yeah. we sort of dug into this a little bit to see what we could discover. And Apple has pulled the trigger on something that is going to hopefully make everybody's lives better.
Yeah, so this is breaking news. Apple is creating an open source.
I know you like when I put the noise in.
Open source. Oh yeah, there we go. So Apple is creating this new open source project, and it's a way to help developers of password managers collaborate to create strong passwords that are also compatible with websites. Which is important because a lot of websites can have different password rules than others. For example, limiting you to 12 characters
or 8
not
or 6.
Yeah. Oh, God, not 6.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen it. I mean, I don't remember when the last time was I saw it, but I have seen it. So, yeah. Or you can't use any punctuation, right? Like,
yeah. Other than, yeah. So no special characters, too. It's another one. And so Apple says they have this whole page on GitHub. It's password manager resources, and it lets you, this is a direct quote from this, it allows you to integrate website specific passwords used by the iCloud Keychain password manager to generate strong, unique passwords. Mm-hmm. So again, just to bring up websites to the same standard as password managers, I think.
Yeah, this is my hope, is that this is something on the website end. So so one thing that, like, when in the README on the GitHub project, which totally exists, we went and looked at it. The first, they said having password managers collaborate on these has 3 high-level benefits. And the first is all password managers can improve quality with less work because, you know, all the work is shared. So anyone that wants to use it can get in on it. This is the one that I think is the magic. This is the one that Andrew and I are talking about. By publicly documenting website-specific behaviors, password managers can offer an incentive for websites to use standards or emerging standards to improve their compatibility with password managers. And they even say, it's no fun to be called out on a list. And then the next one is, by improving the quality of password managers, we improve user trust in them. And that's good for everybody. So hopefully this is a thing that can maybe, you know, right at the top, it says it exists so creators of password managers can collaborate on resources to make password management better for users. And that's all anybody wants. That's what password managers are for. Make it as easy as possible to have long, secure passwords so that, you know, if there is a data, when there is a data breach, you don't have to worry about it because, you know, it's not like you knew your password anyway. So toss a new one in there and, you know, call it good. I really like this idea of one of the things they talk about is creating rules that are compatible with requirements for websites, but also groups of websites that use the same credential backend. You know, this is something that people can tap into to make sure they're compatible with everything so that your password manager is easy to use. And also, to drive adoption of strong passwords, it's useful to take users directly to a website's change password page. Which is the other piece of this that I think is going to end up eventually being super duper great. And this is sort of a thing that like quietly happened. And I really hope that in a couple of weeks at WWDC, we will find out more about this. Maybe they'll show us some things in practice, like how exactly somebody who builds a password manager could use this, or they show us how easy it is for a website to just be a standards compliant website. This is the thing I bang on about all the time, even if it's even if it's not passwords, right? It should just be a standards compliant website so that it looks the same whatever web browser I'm using, and then it would be fine. And you know, password managing standards seem like a pretty reasonable thing to be compatible with.
Yeah, and that last one you said, I hope websites will adopt this too, because if you want to change a password on one of your accounts, you have to manually search into account settings, and sometimes that's hard to find depending on the website. It would be great if I could just tap a link in my password manager and boom, it just takes me to that page.
And it's different everywhere, right? So like sometimes you have to go to account information and then change password, or sometimes change password is a top level option, or sometimes it's under edit preferences or something. Like there's so many places it can be, and maybe just having everybody go to, you know, URL/change password or something, you know, would be better. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out. I know you are.
Oh yeah.
I definitely want to find out more about this, as we do. Of course, you will hear more about it here on Daily Observations. I'm not sure what the ripples of this are going to be, but I really, really, really hope that it works the way they say they want it to. You know, it increases people's trust in web browsers. It can increase my trust in your website if I'm allowed to feed it some crazy long password, you know, that's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 words long with weird characters in between each word. Because someday if I do have to type it by hand, that would be nice to be able to do. But also just being able to make sure that I'm using your site securely. You know, there are places I have either not signed up for an account for, or when I found out that this was the thing that they were doing, you know, you can only have a password that's 8 characters long. I've canceled my account and deleted my information with them because, like, this is dumb. You don't get to find out. I'm not going to give you my phone number if you can't keep it behind a better than 8 character password. That's just ridiculous. So,
yeah. I think I may have mentioned this on the show before, but when I was in college, one of my computer professors said that if you do run into one of those websites that has some arbitrary limitation like character length, that's a strong likelihood that those passwords are being stored insecurely.
Yeah, all that says to me is if I had a friend with some free time and an interest in security, that's a place that they should go be poking around at, right? Like, all this, if it can only be an 8 character password, that tells me that you're doing something, you're doing something with my data that you shouldn't be doing, right? One way or another. So I'm definitely with you on that. If you have feedback on this, if you have other security tips for us, if you are also looking forward to this password manager resources project becoming super duper popular, let us know. You can do so at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Andrew, thanks for coming by, as always, for Security Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Another successful Security Friday. And as always, have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.